Good morning to you all, and blessed Easter. We're glad you could join us this morning. It is Sunday, April 1st, 2018. This is our roundtable discussion, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will begin this morning with Florence and our prayers.
Good morning. I will read two brief Easter messages from Mrs. Eddy, both found in Miscellany. You worship no distant deity, nor talk of unknown love. The silent prayers of our churches, resounding through the dim corridors of time, go forth in waves of sound, a diapason of heartbeats, vibrating from one pulpit to another and from one heart to another, till truth and love, co-mingling in one righteous prayer, shall encircle and cement the human race. May this glad Easter morn find the members of this dear church having a pure peace, a fresh joy, a clear vision of heaven here, heaven within us, and an awakened sense of the risen Christ. May long lines of light span the horizon of their hope and brighten their faith with a dawn that knows no twilight and no night. May those who discourse music today sing as the angels, heavens, symphonies that come to earth.
Beautiful. And Jeremy, all right, can you please put that on our website? Florence, thank you. You can put it under in the forum, really. It's just beautiful. Thank you so much. And then from Miss Eleni, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. I think today we'll start with the watching point, Linda.
It's watch number 467. Watch that you be like a spider, always ready to rebuild your web whenever it seems to be destroyed. But your web is a web of love, the healing atmosphere of good. How patiently and persistently the spider is ready to make a new web when the old one is brushed away. No matter how many times the devil claims to brush God out of our thoughts, we are ready to rise up to realize his presence and to pour out this consciousness to bless all. End quote.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking we have these outdoor lawn furniture in the summer, and in the morning sometimes I'll go out and there are all these spider webs all over them, and I'll brush them off, and the next morning there they are again. It's like they don't get the hint. So we must be the same way. It's a sweet thought that we don't let error get to us. We bleed sweetly. We don't lose our joy. We keep our love going, no matter what. It doesn't matter. When you think of all that was suffered by the Christ, Jesus, and by Mrs. Eddy, our little troubles pale in comparison. Any other comments?
Yeah, those spiders are truly persistent. I have the same thing here. And they come so fast. They do it so fast. It's amazing.
They are. They're totally undaunted. You wipe me away, I'll be back as soon as possible. And we must be equally as undaunted. It was interesting this week. This is the Holy Week, the week before Easter, that I had Thursday and Friday, there I had four calls with people with the same symptoms, and they expressed it in the same way. They'd been dizzy, lightheaded, and they felt weird. Now, What do you think of that?
The heaviness, the heavy thoughts that some attribute to this time, the whole Lent period and Easter.
Thank you.
Right, and the concerted attack on Christianity by the human mind, calling itself various things, but it's a concerted attack.
Justin, I have the same kind of call.
Well, there you are. It's impersonal. It's an impersonal malpractice. The Antichrist rises up, just as it did in the days of Jesus and Mrs. Eddy. It rises up and seems to be more prevalent almost at this time. And so if you do feel any symptoms at all, and that's why our watch on Thursday was on depression and that kind of thing, then it's the Antichrist. It's not your thought. Impersonalize it. It's not you.
And it's not a person. It's not a place. It's not a thing that is attacking. It wears a lot of different faces, and it uses a lot of different names.
And if you can see it and see it impersonally, you can handle it much more quickly and easily. If you think it's your problem, or what's the matter with me, is there some you know, problem going on in my body, or whatever you might think, then you've personalized it and tried to give it some identity. Don't. It's never you. And in this way, we rise higher. And very often, the more spiritually minded you are, the more keenly you feel this. You'll also have, you know, relatives coming out of the woodwork to say things. or do things that maybe they ordinarily wouldn't do. But it's just the revved up, the human mind being revved up. So any comments or questions on that?
Well, what you've mentioned here before about expression being the opposite of depression, I think of that once in a while if ever I feel any sort of depressed thought. Am I expressing, you know, enough love?
Absolutely right. You're feeling depressed. It means you're not expressing love.
You're not being like that spider.
Yeah. You're absorbing and not radiating, as the article tells us. It means you need to radiate more and love more. William, was that you speaking?
Yeah, it's kind of misowning a thought that's not yours.
Yes, misowning a thought that's not yours. Thank you. Very true. Okay, well, our subject is unreality, Golden Text, Matthew 13. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that's, of course, Christ Jesus, and it correlates with science and health, where number 8. Gary, you want to read it?
Number 8. Jesus uttered things which had been secret from the foundation of the world. Since material knowledge usurped the throne of the creative divine principle, insisted on the might of matter, the force of falsity, the insignificance of spirit, and proclaimed an anthropomorphic God. The understanding of his spiritual individuality makes man more real, more formidable in truth, and enables him to conquer sin, disease, and death. Our Lord and Master presented himself to his disciples after his resurrection from the grave as the self-same Jesus whom they had loved before the tragedy on Calvary.
Any comments? All of these things that Jesus spoke of had been kept secret. And he had the divine impetus to that did make him. What does the word formidable mean?
Stronger.
Unmovable, something.
Yeah?
Yep.
And people...
Steadfast.
Yes. And maybe even unapproachable. People don't want to mess with you if you're formidable. You've got a power, a sense there. And Aaron knows it and doesn't try you. And this is what happens as you take on this truth as your own. William?
Kind of holding a place of power.
Yes. Mm. And only by God's power, never your own power, but the power of God.
Sure.
And it's interesting because a lot of people at the time considered his this new thought to be new or radical, something different. And here he's saying, no, it's not new. It is the original truth which has been hidden.
It's like the veil that you were saying about.
Yes, he came to present what has always been true, but has been hidden.
And crucified for it.
So if you ever think that Christian Science is a little too radical for you to be able to live it every day, everywhere you go, think of this. This isn't so new. This isn't so, quote, different. It's only different from those beliefs that would try to hide it.
And Mrs. Eddy says scholastic theology is one of the worst that would try to keep this truth in bondage and keep it from coming forth and being free. That's why she came under such fire for what she did when she did it. And we know that when Jesus said he would come back, as in this lesson, he came back in the form of science and health, the comforter, the truth, which we now have.
Right where Mrs. Eddy says somewhere in prose work where she has... It's like a sense of kind of love and patience for the old theology that she's taken away their God.
Right.
She understood what she was doing to thought.
Yeah, because a lot of people think that they have a vested interest in maintaining the, quote, status quo, maintaining the old theology. A lot of people think that they have a comfort level in it. So they feel threatened when the science comes along and turns it upside down. So we have to have compassion for those people who are still blinded by false belief and feel threatened by the truth.
It's interesting because that's definitely true about those in the organization.
Yeah, there are a lot of very good people. They're just misled.
And they feel very threatened that anything they're doing is being challenged, very threatening. So,
I think this idea of the comfort is a big deal because the human mind wants to always be comfortable. I think that was the hard thing for me was the, every time you think you got a plateau and that, this is good, I want to stay here, then you got a new challenge. And that was what I always thought. Well, I'm just going to come and get a good thought and it's just going to be just fine then. I'll just stay right there and it'll be good and it'll be comfortable. But it's like constantly pushing you out of it. It takes a lot of...
That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
It's very true, though. I remember that. I remember years ago when Mrs. Evans, she did have a 2-week class, a few of them, actually, and I had to write something that would hold back my growth, and that's exactly what I wrote. but you just kind of wanted to get in a comfortable place here and not have to be constantly being challenged. But then you learn it is a good thing. You
it's
don't want it.
It's a huge deal. It's a big deal to get out of the ruts, and that's what Mazzetti did to her students. When you read Footsteps, that's the whole thing. She's constantly, as soon as they got comfortable, she pulled the rug out from underneath. But you see how dangerous it is to be in that rut.
Yes, very dangerous.
It's important to recognize that Mrs. Eddy said that the manual was as important as the science and health. And if people look to the manual instead of authorities or directors or any other person, they could see this truth.
Yes.
Yeah. 88th edition, hopefully.
88, I think she's talking about.
In this book, we have miscellaneous documents. Mrs. Eddy says, often I send out an angel, a new bylaw, and it would come back bruised and bleeding, and I'd have to take it in and cherish it until the field was ready for it.
Interesting.
Again, challenging new thought, challenging
the uncovering.
Yes.
Of what has always been true.
How could the estoppel clauses, how could she actually mean that? Doesn't make any sense. She made a, quote,
loving mistake,
end quote,
according to the BOD.
So?
But the whole idea, I mean, the human mind wants to be, quote, comfortable in its misery. And it looks for human material comfort. And as scientists, we have to learn that that is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as human comfort. It does not exist.
It says there's no such thing as human good. And this is what gets crucified. These new ideas coming to the surface is what the crucifixion is about, because the human mind just doesn't like it, can't comprehend it. And of course, in all of this, we're proved that the human mind is nothing. It has no power. That's what Christ Jesus proved. But it has to be proved, because you can't just say it and yet live under it. You've got to prove it. You've got to work out that math problem. And in the responsive reading, Christ Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Remember that when you're really under God, you're not speaking for yourself. This is God using you. And then he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, I used to wonder, what are those greater works? What greater works?
Anybody have any thoughts?
Did Martha Wilcox say that she thought that they were preventative rather than just curative?
That's right.
Yes.
That's what and I when you think about it, she said, what could be greater than not having the problems come up in the first place? And when you think about it, that's a good point. Because you wonder what greater works there could be than what Christ did, but not having them in the first place. Now this is why we watch. This is why in the morning you're to work for yourself and you're to do your work every morning. And if you read Watches, Prayers, and Arguments, there's so many things she says to handle on a daily basis, like the belief of accident and other things. This is why we do it, so you don't have the problem in the first place. This is why we think, gee, it's much better to love than to hate. Isn't it? Because when you harbor hatred over a long period of time, it will manifest itself in some unpleasant way, in belief, in your bad dream, never the truth. But why go through that bad dream? Mrs. Eddy says in miscellaneous documents, my students, as a rule, meet error when it comes, but do not always do their work and prevent it from coming. Remember that. Go ahead, Lenny.
If you could maintain some kind of spiritual integrity and the transmitting utility, so to speak, for peace through prayer or loving intention, and keep the plate spinning, keep it going, maintain it.
Yes.
That's right. That's why Mrs. Eddy says the song of Christian Science is, does anybody know?
Work, watch, and pray.
Exactly. So if you do this work, and do your watch and pray unceasingly, you will anticipate. The error will leave you alone. It will be repelled by the power of God within you. That is the ultimate. That is the comfort.
Sweet.
And you know, through this work, and that's why we read every Sunday about us being here of the one mind, we can change the course of history. And we are. There are probably many things that go on that have been prevented that we just don't know about because it never happened in the first place. So,
interesting, yeah.
We must never feel discouraged by this work or think it's not effective. It has to be effective. It's God's work. So it is effective. And Mrs. Eddy was keenly aware of the needs of our nation and of the world. Yesterday I said about not bringing politics into our testimony meetings or into our roundtable or Bible discussions. But that doesn't mean that you're not keenly aware of what work needs to be done. We should be, and she did know, and believe me, she worked, and she was always working on world peace, as it was the prayer I think Florence read last week from Miscellany, where Mrs. Eddy says, I work daily, and then the beautiful prayer, and then she lists the things she works on. But you work on it metaphysically, and remember this, it is always the human mind, that is our warfare, it is never people. It's never government, it is not names, it's not leadership, it is the human mind. And if you get off on that, you render your work void and null. It's the human mind. Go ahead.
Well, it may be worse because if you're not doing your work correctly, then you're actually feeding into it.
That's correct. So we stand strong on this. You don't go there. It's the human mind always. Otherwise, we get in these battles, and you're just fighting in the Adam dream, and there's no solution there.
Nobody wins that argument.
No.
But a righteous prayer will improve our politics. It will improve our schools. It will improve everything about us. And that is why we watch. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me.
He also, or Mrs. Eddy says somewhere, I think it's in the Blue Book, or where if the disciples had watched, if they hadn't fallen asleep in Gethsemane, things would have been much different, and the world would have advanced much farther than it is now. And that is also true with we as Christian Scientists. It's a sobering thought. This whole lesson, this whole time together should be extremely sobering for us all. So remember that. This work must be done, and we must be faithful in doing it. Now, I've written an article, and it's on the carousel, but called Given Thee from Above, and it relates to this lesson. And I think it's one of the most significant things you can take. If this is all that you ever get from all our roundtables and Bible studies, it will be much. This revolutionized my life, and it relates to, in John 11, then says Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. That was what, that deep understanding of this was how there was a resurrection. He knew this to be true. Hear this guy, and look how bullying he was. And he seemed to have all this authority, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that, what a perfect answer. And you see how poised the Christ was in knowing this. So you ask yourself, if you want to have part in a resurrection, what is bullying you? What is saying that it has power over you? What thing? Some physical problem, some organ, some husband that bosses you around, some unpleasant business situation, weather patterns, the government, the president, whoever, the mayor, whoever you want to accuse.
Wrong thoughts.
Wrong thoughts, yes, that just traipse through your mind unchecked. Unless it was given by God, it has no power over you. Mrs. Eddy says, air comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has. Now, you can say this with great authority, but it also comes with something very important, and what is that? In order to say it, in order to claim it.
To be obedient.
Yes. You have to be obedient to the best of your ability. You cannot think you can be sinning all over the place and expect you can say this, because it won't work. Of course, Jesus was amazingly obedient. Up until going through the crucifixion to prove to all of us forever that there is no power in sin, disease, or death. Because it's not given from above. God never gave sin, disease, and death power. It's just a machination of the human mind.
False belief.
False belief. False theology. What we've been taught to think. But you can prove this individually on a day-to-day basis, and you should always be asking yourself, what is this bullying thought or person or thing or place? Where did it come from? Who says so? And don't bow down to it. Be formidable. Express your authority through the Christ. And, you know, we've heard there have been people healed from this very thought. And in medical situations. I mean, Janet gave the testimony Wednesday. This was the thought behind it. Laverne gave a testimony a while ago when she had her mother in the hospital with some heart ailment, and Laverne was listening to our service that night, and this testimony was given. And her mother said, let's go home, I'm all right. This is powerful, because it's the truth. But it can only be wielded with great humility and in obedience to that Christ.
And for those of you who are new to Christian Science, don't take our word for it. Try it. Prove it for yourself. That's what it's all about.
Thank you. And that's what's so wonderful about this science. You prove it. Don't take our word for it. you prove it. And if you do it with a sincere heart, you will find it to be true. And along with that, in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, the greatest wrong is but the supposition opposite of the highest right. And of course, this was the greatest wrong, wasn't it? Christ being crucified. The confidence inspired by science lies in the fact that truth is real and error is unreal. Error is a coward before truth. This is always true, and it can be proven in our nations and our government. Some of these bullying leaders, they're cowards. I mean, the fact, well, I don't know if Russia actually gave the name of their missile as Satan, but said NATO gave it that name. Who's aligning up with whom here? and why should we fear anything so dark? We don't need to. It's a coward. It bullies, though. It bullies with the authority that it's some great thing. But that's where we must be wise and strong, as the Christ was. Any comments?
I just wanted to, if I may, read a few sentences from Martha Wilcox's addresses. This comes from War on page 397. She says, true civilization and true government cannot be imposed upon by any individual. Civilization and government are ideas of mind and must eventually spring from within. Our science teaches that man, self-governed by divine principle, is ideal government. This mind of government is neither capitalistic nor communistic, but is exclusively and inclusively Christian.
Just beautiful.
Perfect.
Thank you. You want to do work for a government? That's how you work. That's the purity of it. And as you do that, you will have ideas. People have their various ideas of who they should vote for and what is better. Sometimes it's the lesser of two evils, but you will feel strongly about things, and you should go with that. That's your spiritual sense talking. We read in the Bible that there were some leaders that were definitely better than others, but that is between you and your God. And I do believe if you are really a scientist, you will come to the right conclusions on these points. It'll be very clear. But right now, we are not in the millennium, so it would seem. We are, in a way. We just haven't proven it entirely. So, but we keep knowing these truths. And thank you very much, Janet. That was beautiful. Now, there's something I found in miscellaneous documents that I found very, very touching. I'm going to read it. I prayed about what to give you today. And we had this beautiful Bible study yesterday about Christ Jesus and the resurrection, the crucifixion. But Mrs. Eddy went through it as well. And these are some words now for us. And I have to give you a little background on it. In October 1881, 8 students who had allowed error to enter their thought united in writing a disloyal letter of false accusations to their leader and signed their names to the same. This cruel letter was read by one of their number at a meeting of the Christian Scientists Association in the presence of Mrs. Eddy, who was the president of this association. She made no reply, and when the meeting, which was held in her house, was closed, she went to her room, and all the students went to their homes, with the exception of 2. These 2 remained with our beloved teacher to comfort her in her sorrow and anguish for the sins of those who were persecuting their leader and forsaking the cause of Christian Science when so much was needed. Now, our next love as a liberator is going to be New Age versus Christian Science, or I should say Christian Science versus New Age. And Linda has been finding amazing things of what happened, all the offshoots, all the turning against Mrs. Eddy. It's really something we need to understand and know. And this, what I just read, brings tears to my eyes to think that these so-called students could do this. So then, this person who's writing, which is Julia Bartlett, just before I had entered the room, she was sitting with the others, and the burden was still heavy upon her. When all at once she rose from her chair, stepped out in the room, her face radiant, and with a faraway look, as if she was beholding things the eye could not see. She began to talk and to prophesy of the blessings which would reward the faithful, while the transgressor cannot escape the punishment which evil brings on itself. Remember that. Her language was somewhat in the style of the scriptures. When she began, the three with her, seeing how it was, caught up their pencils and paper and took down what she had said. When she was through speaking, she put down her hand and said, "Why, I haven't any body." And as she came back to the thought of those about her, they were so moved by what she had seen and heard, their eyes were filled with tears, and one was kneeling by the couch, sobbing. Then it says, this is when she is at Lynn, when all of this is happening, and it is early on, the year 1881, and she was soon to go to Washington for a time to lecture and teach and to do what she could to start the science in that very important city. Mrs. Eddy's household goods were nearly all packed and taken away to be stored while she was gone, as she knew she would not return to Lynn again, but would go to Boston. The floors were bare. There were a few chairs, a small writing desk, and a packing box in the room. There was a lamp on the packing box which stood on end, and Mrs. Eddy sat beside it. There were about 10 church members to occupy the available seats. Mrs. Eddy read the 17th chapter of John, and her parting remarks to us on the event of her leaving the city, and her admonitions in regard to the care of the church and the cause, sank deeply in our hearts. We were saddened at the thought of parting with our beloved teacher, but were brave and courageous in taking up new responsibilities, resolving to be faithful in following her instructions, knowing that God would give us strength according to our needs. Just as Jesus spoke to his disciples, she spoke to hers. And then, Julia Bartlett, this is some of a letter that Mrs. Eddy wrote to Julia Bartlett. "This I beg you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you, that no root of bitterness springs up among you, that no pride comes up or vain inquiry, who shall be greatest? But remember, I have made myself a servant that I might lead others to Christ." And then she writes this, she gives Julia Bartlett this poem that she wrote, Mrs. Eddy wrote, on the eve of her departure to Washington. And she requested me, Julia Bartlett, to read it to the members of the church. At that time, the few church members consisted mainly of women. And the poem is this: "To the Church of Christ Scientists, with love's battle flags unfurled, with hope's cause before the world, we are going on. Though the storm clouds thunder o'er us, though the path seems dark before us, though the foemen strive to kill us, we are going on. For our Master led the way, fought the fight, and won the day. Follow, follow all who may. Going on, going on. Stand ye only back who dare not the cross of Christ to bear. We are going on. Triumph star above us gleaming, victory on our foreheads beaming, four fresh duties hourly reaching. We are going on. To fulfill each hope and aim, conquer sickness, sin, and blame, and each erring heart reclaim, going on, going on. From the darkness of the night into morning's golden light, sisters, labor on. With the aid of God's own science, with no heed of hate's defiance, truth and right, my soul alliance, I shall labor on. Your loving teacher, Mary Baker Glover Eddy. This is her message to us today. As we discussed yesterday, we have the Great Commission, the message that Christ gave to us. And God help us fulfill this Christly.
What God has given us to do.
Yes. Now I have... He put on the website this week on the carousel, Lawrence reading Atonement and Eucharist, which is one we should all know, especially this week. If you haven't read or listened to it recently, you should. And then also, Gary, the audio of...
Is there no sacrificial atonement?
Is there no sacrificial atonement? No and yes is full of questions and answers that you all should be familiar with, just as the questions and answers are in miscellaneous writings. So to conclude today, Gary will read from this. It is about the resurrection, and it is what we should take from it.
Excerpt from No and Yes, is there no sacrificial atonement? Self-sacrifice is the highway to heaven. The sacrifice of our blessed Lord is undeniable, and it was a million times greater than the brief agony of the cross, for that would have been insufficient to ensure the glory his sacrifice brought and the good it wrought. The spilling of human blood was inadequate to represent the blood of Christ. The outpouring of love that sustains man's at-one-ment with God, though shedding human blood brought to light the efficacy of divine life and love and its power over death. Jesus' sacrifice stands preeminently amidst physical suffering and human woe. The glory of human life is in overcoming sickness, sin, and death. Jesus suffered for all mortals to bring in this glory, and his purpose was to show them that the way out of the flesh, out of the delusion of all human error, must be through the baptism of suffering, leading up to health, harmony, and heaven. The real atonement, so infinitely beyond the heathen conception that God requires human blood to propitiate his justice and bring his mercy, needs to be understood. The real blood or life of spirit is not yet discerned. Love, bruised and bleeding, yet mounting to the throne of glory in purity and peace over the steps of uplifted humanity. This is the deep significance of the blood of Christ. Nameless woe, everlasting victories are the blood, the vital currents of Christ Jesus' life, purchasing the freedom of mortals from sin and death. This blood of Jesus is everything to human hope and faith. Without it, how poor the precedents of Christianity. What manner of science were Christian science without the power to demonstrate the principle of such life? And what hope have mortals but through deep humility and adoration to reach the understanding of this principle? When human struggles cease and mortals yield lovingly to the purpose of divine love, there will be no more sickness, sorrow, sin, and death. He who pointed the way of life conquered also the drear subtlety of death. This divine mystery of godliness was the rock of truth, on which he built his church of the newborn, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. This truth is the rock which the builders rejected, but the same is become the head of the corner. This is the chief cornerstone, the basis and support of creation, the interpreter of one God, the infinity and unity of good. In proportion as mortals approximate the understanding of Christian science, they take hold of harmony, and material encumbrance disappears. Having one God, one mind, one consciousness, which includes only his own nature, and loving your neighbor as yourself, constitute Christian science, which must demonstrate the nothingness of any other state or stage of being.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll now go up to our service. I understand we have flowers and music, trumpets. And a glorious Easter morning. God keep you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.